He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power and author of the book True Freedom. I am excited that you have joined with our broadcast of His Gospel Power. As we look into the Word of God, we discover that God is all-powerful and that Jesus is alive. He operates in our lives on a daily basis. As we go through this study, we will understand as we read the Word that Jesus is alive. We continue our series on He is alive. This is the wonderful time of the year that reminds us Jesus Christ is alive. We can see that He is alive in the rain. We know that we serve a God who hears us. As we begin to speak to Him, as we begin to bring our needs to Him, as we begin to praise Him, as we sit and listen, we can hear His voice because He is alive. It is a voice that as you sit and you have prayed and you stop. We were talking this morning in our men's Bible study once again, and we've talked about this before. But if you're going to pray to God, which I believe most of you do, stop and listen. Let Him talk back. Don't keep on talking. Don't make it a one-sided conversation. When the conversation's one-sided, it gets pretty boring. God does not want to hear my voice all the time because you know the wisdom I get? It's the same stupidity that I've always had because it's coming out of my lips. Instead, it's better to sit and listen and know that we are not praying to a little round man sitting on a table. That we are not praying to some dead God that has been made by human hands. We are praying to a living God who cares and loves and wants to be part of your life. He wants to be part of that relationship with you that will help you to nurture and help you to know when you have made a mistake and know that, you know what, as that loving hand goes onto your shoulder, He says, I know you made that mistake. Let me help you back up and let's go at it again. Let's do it again. You'll get it right this time. You'll do it right. Because He is alive. He cares. He loves. And He shows that love to us in everything we do. John 15:14-17. Do you know that Jesus calls you a friend? Now, how many know you can have dead friends, but dead friends don't call you friend any longer? They say they used to be I used to have a friend named, and they continue on. It's a good memory in their mind. Something nice to think about. I used to have a friend. But Jesus puts it in the present tense and He says, from now on, I call you friend. Now, in this vastness that we call God, sometimes we forget that God is a friend. God is a sovereign and powerful God who requires that we hold Him in reverence. But paradoxically, He still says that we can call Him friend. Jesus Christ is God. Did you know that? That's another paradox of the Word. But God says, Jesus said, He and the Father were one. The Word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God became flesh and made His dwelling among us.
We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ came and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory. And Jesus is God. And Jesus wraps His arms around us. He came to this earth so that He could wrap His arms around us, show us that He loves us so much that He would leave His glory to be with us on this lowly earth. And He walked with us, and He talked with us, and He loved us, and He hung on that cross because He loved us. But He didn't die there, and He's no longer in the tomb. He was raised to life, and He still calls us friend. John 15:14-17. You are my friends if... You know, we tend to throw those little words out. Don't throw those little words out. Those little conjunctions, those things, they make a big difference. If you do what I command, does that mean that we're working our way into heaven? Wait a minute, it says, well, you are my friends if... Well, if you do what God commands, if you love God, you will do what He commands. And that's all He's saying. He's saying that you are my friends if you do what I command. In other words, you have already received me. You can put that into what is happening today in your own life. You're calling someone a friend. Why? Because you have already received them. They are your friend. They are already a part of you. And that is what's happening here. Jesus said, if you do what I command, and if you have been, if He calls you friend, you will already be wanting to do what He's already told you to do. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that's important, He's made known to us. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Now I know we're on a different series here. We're on He's Alive. But you cannot read the Word of God without placing into context, make disciples. You can't do it. He says right here, then the Father will ever give you whatever you ask in my name. You did not choose me. It says, but you are to go and bear fruit. What is fruit? We talked about that this morning in our men's group. What is fruit? And there were many things that were thrown. You know, the fruit is being kind and being patient and being loving. And there's all kinds of fruit. What is fruit? Jesus told us what the fruit is before He left. The fruit is that you make disciples. The fruit is that you are a disciple who has now taken someone under your wing who is ready to go, who becomes a disciple and is ready to make another disciple. That is fruit. Fruit is someone who comes to know Jesus Christ and makes a disciple that is ready to go and share Jesus with someone else. That is fruit. And that's what God tells us to do. All of those other things lead up to the fruit, but His main emphasis is that we are to bear fruit. We are to bring someone to Jesus Christ and teach them how to bring another to Jesus Christ. We're to bear fruit. This is my command. Love each other. When you love someone, what are you going to do? You're going to want to share your most intimate being with them. Your most intimate being is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I want to share Him with you. That's eternal. That is the most intimate thing that you have. That's eternal. All of these other things that we call intimacy in this earth, in America, that we call intimacy is not intimacy. It is temporal. It's going to go away. True intimacy is only between us and the Father. It's eternal. And that's why he makes that command that we love one another. But I think Christians today are pretty miserable at it. Are you a secret Christian? Do you want to keep God a secret? You don't want anybody to know about it. You want to keep all of this to yourself. John 19:38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. And with Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, which, by the way, 75 pounds would have been for a royal burial. That's not just going to be the average deal. This is a royal burial. They were looking at Jesus as king. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now, I'm not going to come down on these men at all. For one, I don't have the right. But I do want to use them as a little bit of an example. Because you see, these men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, were secret disciples of Jesus. And actually, the truth be known, Peter, through his denial, shows you he was also a secret disciple of Jesus. What tied these three men together? Peter, Joseph of Arimathea, and Nicodemus. Even though Peter had been walking with Jesus for 3 years, he still denied him three times. Was it any worse that Nicodemus was also secretly a disciple of Christ? What tied these three men together is that at this point, they were not indwelled with the Holy Spirit. At the Pentecost, the Acts, at day of Pentecost had not happened yet. The Holy Spirit had not indwelled them. They were still afraid. They were still scared. They didn't want anybody to know that they followed Jesus Christ. So these three men, even though most would say, oh, well, Peter for sure was a disciple of Christ. Well, yeah, well, was he? Denied Christ. The rest of the disciples, they all scattered. The only one left was John standing there with Jesus' mother. The rest of them were all gone, man. They were cautioned. They were in the wind. Out of there. Why? Because they did not have the power of the Holy Spirit that indwelled them to make them bold for Christ and be able to stand up against the Sanhedrin, to understand that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are all powerful. You have the power inside you. He resides in there. He says he's going to come in. Acts 1:8 says that you are witnesses of these things and that you will be filled with power. You will be filled with that boldness. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the book of Mark tells us, I'll finish that sentence in just a minute. The book of Mark tells us, whoever believes, in chapter 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Some, I believe, have taken that scripture out of context, because the context of this scripture is, when you believe and are baptized, you will walk in miraculous powers. That's what the context of this scripture is saying in chapter 16. Now to finish the sentence. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can walk with power to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly. I don't know much about Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus. We know about Peter, though. And I would say, if Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea truly were the disciples of Jesus, they probably got filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost itself, and they were also bold. But we know about Peter. And we know that on that day of Pentecost, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they all got bold and they stood up, and Peter stood before the Sanhedrin and said, "You hung Jesus on the cross." And they all sit there and they said, "Man, is this the same guy? Is this the same guy that we saw in the courtyards? Surely not." But he was indwelled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God was using him in a mighty way. Are you a secret Christian today? And if you are, do you not understand that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit? When you have accepted Jesus Christ, you need to tap into that power that dwells in you and proclaim His gospel proudly and say, "I got something that I want to show you. Man, it's the greatest thing you have ever seen. Come over, sit down, I got to show you this." How come we're not doing that? How come we don't do that? Why do we not allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and gather that excitement and show that we love Christ and walk in His power? Do people know that you stand firmly in Christ, or is it hidden by tradition and its customs? The American church is hidden in tradition and customs. We don't see the power of Jesus Christ, I believe, for the same reason that the Pharisees and the Sadducees couldn't see it, by and large. Because they were steeped in their traditions and their customs, most of which didn't even come from the Bible. It had just happened year after year after year after year after year. They were used to it. This is the way it's supposed to be done. This is how we work. This is how church is done. This is how we do church. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they couldn't see it. And they are living in hell today. The Church of America seems much the time not to be able to see it either. Am I saying that the Church of America is going to hell? I can't answer that one. I can answer the one about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because when Jesus said that their son, that they followed their father, Satan, sounds to me like they were going to be someplace where we don't want to be. But do we want to be steeped in our traditions so much that we can't see the glory of God? Do we want that veil in front of our face so we can't see His glory? Or do we want to cast the veil off, accept the indwelling, the infilling that comes from Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit as we are baptized in His love? Ephesians 6, 14 through 18 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted into the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Take up that power that God has given you to proclaim His gospel, to pray for those who need prayer, to pray for the sick, to pray for those who are hurting, to help mend relationships. As you begin to pray for relationships, the miraculous God will put them back together. I have seen in the last several months at least two or three relationships that were gone. They were in divorce court. It's over. We're not speaking anymore. We're just waiting for the papers to get signed. That's end of the story. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to talk to him. It's done. They just forgot to tell God. Because as the prayers continued to go, miraculously, those relationships are back together for God. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter." We are to pass on the words of Jesus Christ to our disciples. We are to go and make disciples and tell people that He is alive. He's not still in the tomb. He's alive. He cares about your needs. He's alive. He cares if you're in financial struggle. He's alive. He cares if you have physical illness. He's alive. He cares if you have relationships that are breaking up. He is alive today. He's alive. This special time of year reminds us of the living God, but we should be reminded as Christians each and every day as we sit in that quiet time and listen to Him speak to us. Does God speak to you? Well, then if He doesn't, you get in your prayer closet or wherever it is you like to play, you close the door and you sit there till He does. Because He will. Maybe your day is so busy, you're not giving God enough time to speak to you. And you know the cool thing about God is? The more time that you give Him, the more He will fit things into that schedule that you didn't think you could do. Martin Luther, he was translating all the Bible. Martin Luther was translating all the Bible into the common language of the Germans. And he got, one time he was getting his hair cut, and he says, "I got so much to get done today. I usually only pray 2 hours a day. Today I got to pray 3. Because I got so much to get done." God, how many believe God can do things more efficiently than you can? Amen. Amen. How many believe God is smarter than you are? How many believe that God can already line everything up, and by the time you get there, you're just like, okay, that's that one, that's that one, that one's that one. We prayed all day long. We got it. What we thought we had to get done is going to take so long, we got it done in 15 minutes. Because God already had it lined up. We're denying the power of God because we won't sit and talk to Him and listen to what He's got to tell us. We get our busy lives cranking so far, I don't have time to talk to Him. You don't have the time not to talk to Him. Because there's only 24 hours in a day. I don't know about your day, but I still have been trying to squeeze out more, but all I can get is 24. The clock always goes to 001 the next day. When it hits 2400, for some of you military types, pretty soon it goes to 001. That's 1 second, by the way. I know that one. I know 01 comes next, but Jesus is alive because He has baptized you in the Holy Spirit. When you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He baptized. You know what baptism is? It's another word for immersed. Exactly. Thank you. It's immersed. He has covered you with His Holy Spirit. When you accept Him as Lord and Savior, He says, boom, you are baptized. I am soaking you with My Holy Spirit. It's inside, it's out. It's all over. And because He has baptized you with His Holy Spirit, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He's alive within you. Within you. Within you. Back there in the very back, He's alive within you. Jesus Christ is alive. And He wants us to proclaim His Word to those who are dead. Many who are not in church today are dead. They are headed for eternal damnation. Is that sinking in? Without you standing boldly and saying, Jesus is alive, they're going to die. He wants us to proclaim His gospel. Be excited. And show that they can have eternal salvation as well. Have you seen anybody that's hurting? Depressed? A little in despair? You know, maybe the next time you ask someone, how are you doing today? And they say, okay. Maybe you don't just say, great, and walk off. Maybe you say, no, really, how are you doing today? I'm glad to hear that. You were supposed to play along, but you didn't. Maybe when you ask them the second time, you're going to get the real truth. Well, probably something you're not going to want to hear. The problem with our greeting that we have today is, how are you doing today? Great. Oh, I'm doing fine. All right, good. Good to see you. Because we don't really care about each other. It's just our greeting. And I met a guy from England who was over here a few years ago. He was walking around and I just walked up to him and said, how you doing? Just like, you know, he said, oh, I'm doing okay. He says, so that's the greeting here, he says. So that's the greeting. But he said, but you don't really care how I'm feeling, but that's just the greeting. That's what he said. This is just a guy from England that's just making an observation. See, Paul's greeting was grace and peace to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was one of Paul's favorite greetings. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you want to give the same grace and peace to those, you say, how are you doing? And if you can, you know, when I take Derek's hand, I can see in his eyes, he really is doing okay. But you know, there might be someone that you grab their hand, you say, how you doing today? And you can see in their eyes, you know what? I want to tell you more. But I don't know that you want to hear more. So I'm okay. And when you ask the second time, is that true? Are you really okay? Well, you know, my father died. My mother died. I have an illness. I have a child who has an illness. I have financial struggles. Maybe there's something deep in there that you really need to know. You want to know how to bring Jesus to people's life? Get involved with their life. That's the only way it works. Start a relationship with someone you don't know. Ask them how they feel. And then wait around to really hear. And then at that point you can tell them, you know what, I can't do anything for you, but I know someone who can. I know someone who can fix this for you. I know someone who can make it better. I know where there's hope. I know what can change your life. I know how you can walk away from this conversation a new creation. Because I serve a Savior who is alive today. And He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to join with you. And He wants to change you into the kind of person that He wants you to be, which is also alive. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You and we thank You for Your love. I thank You, Father, that You are alive. I thank You, Father, that You walk with us and talk with us and love us and wrap Your arms around us. I thank You, Lord, that You hear our troubles, and I thank You that You hear our praises, that You rejoice with us and You weep with us. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, if there is one that does not know You today, within the sound of my voice, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray if there's one today in this sanctuary that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they might come to You today. I pray that lives will be changed, Father. And I give You the praise, for You are worthy of our praise, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us to hear the truth about Jesus Christ on His Gospel Power. This is a listener-supported ministry. If you would like to partner with us, we would invite you to help us financially support this ministry. This ministry goes into households around the world to bring the good news of the gospel and spread hope to those who have no hope. If you would like to give, you can do so by going to our website, www.hisgospelpower.org, and click on Donate. Any amount is appreciated. Even $5 per month will help us to continue to bring the gospel to you every day. You can also go to Amazon.com and order one of my books. The proceeds of the books go to His Gospel Power. If you're unable to give financially, I ask you to become a prayer partner. Go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, and fill out the email submission form. This will allow us to maintain contact with you and pray for your needs as well. God bless you as you have joined our internet congregation. I pray that we can join together and proclaim the gospel of Christ together to reach a lost and dying world. Until next time, I pray that you receive His gospel power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just come and praise His holy name. He's going.
Don't you feel Him touching you? He's calling you. He's calling.